Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 1st of September 2010. Thank you once again for joining us. So let's let you know what we've got on this edition of the show. Well, joining me as always is going to be Juz and Craig as we bring you the news and rumours that have come out of Walt Disney and Disneyland Paris resorts over the past couple of weeks, and there seems to have been quite a bit. We're then going to bring back the very first edition of the Disney Daily Diary as I bring you what I did out on my Walt Disney World vacation in August. And then we're going to bring you a segment which we want to bring you close to when a return from Walt Disney World, where we're going to talk about the Disney dining plan and whether we think it is worth it, whether you're paying for it or not. And that's pretty much going to round up this edition of the show. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days, and there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002.
And welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show. And joining me, as always, are our Disney warriors. Juz!
Hello again, Adam, and hello again, Disney Bob people.
What do you mean again? I don't know what you're on about.
It's like deja vu, but it 24 hours later.
And hello, Craig.
Who was just off a plane and now has had a good night's sleep.
You see, all those jokes we used the first time around just aren't going to work anymore. We had a slight issue that we recorded this and just
we, as in Adam,
recording didn't work. My recording stopped after 4 minutes and Craig just didn't bother recording it. So we had to record it again, but it's all fine. And we've got loads of news for you. We've got some Disney Brit news. We've got some Disney news for Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. We're going to shoot through it as quick as we can and let you know what's been happening in the resorts over the past couple of weeks. So before we go into the Disney news itself, we've got a few bits of Disney Brit news. Juz is going to start us off with what is really our big piece of news. We've been teasing people on Facebook about it all week. So Juz, it's about time we put people out of their misery, because they're all moaning at us on Facebook about that we're teasing them and not telling them the truth. So what is our piece of news?
I told them yesterday if they couldn't be bothered listening, I'm not telling them again. That was God making sure we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you see, there's two bits of news there, and you should have known from yesterday to say there's two bits of news. So do you want to do that bit again?
I said pieces.
You didn't, did you?
Yeah.
You hate me just to pieces. We used that one yesterday. It was really funny, that joke, but it was in context. Oh, I still laugh now. Right, there's two pieces of news as part of our Project Squirrel. Can I just say this was really funny when I did this yesterday, and I've lost my script, so I can't do it today. So The first bit of news was something we've been working on for about 6 months, although Adam will probably take the credit, as he's done so often this evening already by saying everything, is we're launching a magazine over the next few weeks. It's going to be an e-mag, which means electronic mag, Adam, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Doesn't begin with an I. I don't
know. No, no. If it's called an iMag,
Adam
will buy it straight away. He'll have two. So we're starting a magazine, and we've got loads of bits. We've got loads of contributors already. It's something we wanted to push out. We are looking at also the option of making it a printed magazine shortly, but we are looking at the eMag first of all, so everyone gets a bit of that. And we're looking for more contributors. If you want to be a contributor, you can email us.
Excuse me.
Was that you?
That's Craig.
Are you okay, love?
No, I've just got off the plane. Oh, no, I didn't. Sorry. No,
that was yesterday.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah. If you want to contribute, email me at just@ionorlando.com. I've had a very long day so far. And quite an aggressive evening, apparently.
There we go.
Yeah. And just sort of send a sample, and also the category you'd like to write for, you know, whether you'd like to sort of do Universal or SeaWorld like Craig sent in, or anything like that. Then certainly we're looking for contributors and people to add to it. It's a team effort, this. Go team. Anyway,
go team.
That's the little bit of news. The big news was really fantastic yesterday when we mentioned it, wasn't it, guys?
It was amazing.
Oh, it's brilliant.
So anyway, moving on to the Disney news. Yeah. And
I can't believe how we've teased people, yet I still want to continue teasing. We should have more pretend news in the future.
Yeah.
No, I think it's about time we put people out of their misery.
Okay, yeah. We've sold Adam. That's the great news. He's a little slave. Now, what happens is we did ESPN back about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And it was really good, and we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. It was a spiffing time. Anyway, things changed at ESPN, which went home. Dennis just did Dennis things. A lot of things changed. So what we were convinced and we thought we should do is that they needed a radio show over there. So we've been working very hard with Nicholas Area, who's an awesome dude, great producer over there, does a lot of the Eye in the Sky type things as well. And we are coming on the Orlando airwaves. It would have been nice if I'd known the frequencies because I knew them yesterday. I think it's 1510, 1480 AM.
You are dead right, I think, yeah.
And we're going to be on ESPN as well. Now, I'll explain what's happening.
1410.
I said 1410.
Oh, sorry. 1410, 1580, you're right. Yeah,
that's
sorry.
What I said.
Okay, all right.
You can rewind this and see if I was wrong. And if I was wrong, then I'm still right. So it doesn't matter. See, Adam's chipping in already.
Oh.
I know. What's it going to be like? This is what we were saying yesterday. It was really funny about Jazz and I getting about 2 minutes. But go on, Joss, tell them how long we get on the air, though.
That was funny as well. We did so many funny things yesterday. Adam said at the end of it, what a fantastic first show back it was. And we've lost it. Do you know that was the best show we ever did?
Yeah. Oscar winning.
It was fantastic with the dancing girls and the squirrels. Anyway, anywho's. So what we're doing, to give the context here, because I'm just waffling now, we are on the 15 whatever and 14 whatever from drive time from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. we have Destination Disney, which is our Disney show with Nick. This, by the way, is not affecting in any way, shape or form the Disney Brit podcast. Beep, beep, TM. Bing. you interjected here yesterday, Adam, so you go, yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, no, it won't. No, we'll still continue doing the podcast every other week. So there won't be any difference there. And the radio show is really an addition on top of what we're already doing with the podcast.
He did that really funny yesterday, but you had to be there. Mm. And then from the 7 till 8 is the Ion Orlando show, which is us talking about everything about the parks and theme parks that's happening there. So we've got 2 hours on Orlando radio. What were they thinking, the fools?
Live Orlando radio. Just
live,
it is as well, yeah.
So you drive your car, you tune in, and you go, why are these stupid British people on my radio? And what happens then is on Saturday and Sunday, it is repeated between, I wish I'd written this down again. Is it 6 till 9? 6, 7?
7 till 9.
7 till 9. Once again, exactly the same format on the same frequencies. But even beyond that, we're on ESPN. Hopefully, this isn't confirmed yet. We're going to sort of put on the forums now between 8 and 9 on Saturday morning, ESPN 1080. which is a Destination Disney show. We've also got other radio stations interested in picking us up. The fools, they haven't heard us yet. they like the concept, they hate the presenters. So that's getting picked up. It really is, for us, the most exciting time. Now, we were told there was a Disney radio show just about Disney parks about 7 years ago, and there's been nothing since then at all in Orlando, which is bizarre to think. So we're going to be producing, the show once a week. It's going to be on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll also be released as a podcast on the Monday, no later than the Monday morning. And we're going to, so the idea is when you go across there, you can tune in at some point and catch us. We're going to have park hours, information about the parks, as well as some Disney history and Disney stuff like the Disney Vinylmations, which are mad crazy at the moment. And Nick is a complete geek on, so we can't really start him on that. If we start Adam and him off on Disney, this is what we said before, was the fact that me and Craig will get about 2 seconds in on that show, but hopefully we'll make up for it in the Orlando show afterwards if those two would shut up.
Yeah, we'll just sit quietly in the background like naughty children.
Yeah, all I can basically say is I think this is really, really exciting.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I think we need to reiterate the reason we've chosen the times that we have. We've got obviously the Friday night, which is going to be the live. But the reason we've chosen the times in the morning is because if you are travelling to the parks, you've got your car and you want to know a bit of information on that weekend, switch the radio on. You'll be able to hear us on the radio on your way to the parks with any of the up-to-date information for that weekend or that coming week that can let you know basically everything that is going to be going on in the park over that week.
Yeah, so bear with us. I mean, it's a new thing for everyone. Nick is a great bloke as well, and he's doing an awful lot of effort on his end, and he's pulled a lot of strings, and we've been speaking to him a lot. So, you know, bear with us, and hopefully we'll make this a show that everyone can be sort of really tuned into and proud of. I mean, we're looking forward to it, and hope we don't let everyone down. We're going to create a couple of forum headings before, when the show's out tomorrow, probably, isn't it? Because you're pushing it through before you go back to school, which will be the two radio shows. You know, we're going to see how it goes. Definitely Disney Brit isn't going to change. I know Orlando, we might look at how we change that around, because, of course, we've got other commitments with the magazine, and even we've got a few more plans up our sleeve to go even further. We said 2010 was going to be our year, and I think we've been talking a lot over the last 6 months between the three of us. Sorry, Craig. and it's going to be huge. And I can't knock Craig, because Craig has done so much work for the shows.
Over in
Orlando, he has met so many people on vacation. We can't really say about them either, but we have got some absolutely hugely massive things in the works. Go Disney Brit, go on Orlando. Here's my pom-poms. Woo!
There you go. There's an awful lot going on, and we are very, very excited about everything that's going to be happening, and fingers crossed, you know, we'll make it continue. Another Disney Brit bit of news for you before we head into the Disney news, and that is that Disney Brits are going to be doing Halloween. That is, just give you the dates, Friday the 29th of October till Sunday the 31st of October. We're planning on going out to Disneyland Paris for Halloween weekend, and Craig's not going to be there. He's disappearing
again,
off to...
Royal we, not including me.
Craig's disappearing off to Walt Disney World, so he can't really complain.
Who's that other voice?
It's the other one. It's star.
I forgot about that, thanks.
Yeah, just for hope you'll be joining me as well. We're going over to Disneyland Paris for that weekend. The reason we've chosen that weekend is not just because it's Halloween weekend anyway, but because of what is happening on Saturday the 30th of October. Disneyland Paris will be holding in Walt Disney Studios the Disney Terrorific Night. Now, we don't really know much about it other than we know it's not designed for people under the age of 12.
It's not designed for people
for under the age of 12. It's about €29, I think, for a ticket. And we're going to be going along to that, as well as going into the parks over those few days as well. We're not planning anything like mouse meets. We're not going to have group meets or anything like that. We are literally planning on just going and enjoying the parks for a few days. And we want as many people to join us as they want to. So if you'd like to come along with us, join up with us, you know, even if it's just come for the Terrific Night or for half a day in a park or anything like that, then you can go over to the forum, which is ironorlando.com/forum. You can go to Facebook, send us a message through there, or you can email us podcast@disneybrit.com, and we'll see how many people want to come along, and we'll set up an event group as well on Facebook. We'll just see how many people want to come along and enjoy it, really. And that's just sort of the plans we've got for that weekend. So that's Friday the 29th of October till Sunday the 31st of October. Okay. Let's do some Disney news, which Craig's going to start us off with. But before we do, Craig has literally come back from America. So what was it like? How was your flight back, etc.?
I wouldn't start with the flight back, because then you'll never get me off anything else.
Okay.
generally, that no, the holiday was lovely. It was exceptionally warm this year, as I think many people noticed. I know you did when you were over there, Adam.
Yeah.
Very, very hot this year. Just actually the last kind of week, there's been a few hurricane storms out in the Atlantic, which have been affecting the weather a little bit. So I think they're up to F. I forget the name. I think it was Fiona they were calling it. But so the weather's not that great this time. But no, really, really good. We had a nice time. It seemed to go very, very quickly. We did all the Disney parks this time, which is unusual. We don't normally go to all of them, but had a great time at all of them. Spent quite a bit of time in Universal with Harry Potter, which we'll talk about on t'other show. Really enjoyed ourselves. The flight back was a complete nightmare, though, and people have seen on Facebook. I would never fly. In fact, I'm not now. We've got two more flights booked, one in October, one in April. The October is with BA and April is with Delta KLM. I'm not flying Virgin again because I worked out, whilst being delayed again, the last 8 flights I've taken with them have not been on time, and it's just ludicrous. And the plane was just awful. I had Nick Harrison, who's one of our listeners, a good friend of the show. He was a bit of a plane spotter and telling me what plane I was on, and he said, "Is it Tatty?" And I said,
later.
I was on the outside of an aisle, and not one of our seats worked properly with the cushions or reclining, and it was just absolutely ludicrous. So they'd have to be giving seats away cheap for me to go again. Or, of course, I get to travel with Jazz. That's the only other reason I'd go.
Yay!
But I wouldn't go with them again. I think they're living off of their reputation a little bit too much now. I know many people like them and many people don't have a problem with them. But, you know, the amount of times I go there and the last 8 flights, they've all been delayed. I think there's seriously something wrong. So boo Virgin. But I'd love if I'd glad to be home. Got some nice bits and bobs. My favourite thing I got, actually, I've got a hand-drawn Doug who's telling me to stop working.
Squirrel!
So, I've got that on my desk, so I'm really pleased with that.
Can I just say that people should check out Craig's picture, because Doug is absolutely amazing. Yeah, the picture is awesome.
And we looked at some of the drawings of it, because it's computer animated, and I was really against doing it, because I was thinking they're not usually hand-drawn, but that Doug is absolutely fantastic.
It is good, and it looks really nice now, because we've got a Disney cherry art of animation frame that's sitting on my desk.
Can I also point out something else? Did you should be embarrassed yourself. Did everyone in the shop have an issue with the spelling of a certain word?
Yeah, they did. So Alex and Kieran were ordering this for me. It was part of a Father's Day present that I had. And Alex wants it to say, let me get it. It says, "To Daddy, don't stop squirrels working." Okay, so love Alex and Kieran. So it says that. And then so the artist, Monica Wilson, was going, "Squirrels, how do you spell squirrel?" So she's asking me, right, which is a bad thing to do. So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, all right. So Alex is, you know, having a good go and basically got much nearer than I did. In the end, they went out to, because it's in the Art of Disney shop, there's like a little book thing. They got a book and started looking through and got the word squirrels correctly. So that was really funny.
Oh, I laughed.
That dog is fantastic.
It is awesomized.
Awesomized.
Yes, I like that. Awesomized.
Okay, right. Should we start off some Disney news then?
No. Okay, night, guys.
Right. No, that's it. We filled all the time with Craig moaning. Right, Craig, start us off with some Disney news.
Okay, right. Disney pays $433,000 in back wages. So this story is actually amazing when you think about this. Walt Disney Parks and Resorts have now agreed to pay almost $500,000 in back pay to 69 employees as compensation for violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act. Now, Labor officials said there was an investigation which revealed that inventory control clerks in the company's food and beverage department were not paid for work activities that occurred before or after their shifts. Disney spokeswoman Andrea Finger, who was pointed her finger pointed at her, said the wage owed to the employees in question have been paid and the company has provided additional training, which is turn up on time, probably. According to a Department of Labour release, 69 employees were due $433,819. Now, Walt Disney has specific rules regarding off-clock work, but an investigation concluded by the Department of Labour and Wage, and our division, you've got to love all these departments in America, found that managers within the company were not adhering to those important policies, the spokeswoman said. Now, Chaz, you must love this. You know, you turn up for work. This is typical kind of Americans, I suppose. You turn up for work and you're due on at 9 o'clock and you get there like 8:45, I suppose. And I suppose they do 15 minutes of work and expect to be paid. Where in England, you turn up at 9 to start work at 9, you have a fag, get a coffee, and you probably stroll out about 10 past.
If that, I would have said about half 9. Pushing it after my second donut.
Yeah, oh, it's a lot of money though to have to pay out, and I just wonder why it's this one department. I don't quite understand where this came from.
Is this a start of other ones? I mean, it's about $6,000 a piece, which is not bad. Just makes you wonder if it's going to be other ones. But saying that, let's be honest, $433,000 to Disney is like 20p to me.
There's Dave Parkin, isn't it?
Andrea Finger, what a name.
I think we should give her a big hand.
Yeah, with an 8 on it.
Do you know if the Sun had reported this, there'd have been some terrible pun, wouldn't there, on the front of the newspaper.
Disney gets... Oh, no.
anyway.
Buzzers would have thought that one too.
There's moments where the brain thinks before it doesn't think before the mouth moves. Excellent. Right, let's continue then. We're going to go in with Juz.
Congaloosh!
Hey!
You meant to shout Congaloosh back and things.
Congaloosh!
Okay, don't get excited. This is not Return of the Club because they're miserable, horrible people. But the possible return of the flavoured drink that gets toasted inside the legendary Fantastica Adventurers Club. Both Laffers and PI Life Bar are believed to be soon receiving slushy-type machines that will hold the favourite tipple of ours. The price is an absolute bargain at $2.25, with a encore tax of $8. Apparently, PI management thinks this will draw former Adventurers Club fans back to the island to have their old drink. Yes, the drink is amazing, but in my personal opinion, the whole point is it needs to be the Adventurers Club. $10.25. Do you know, I'm trying to think, does anyone remember how much the frozen margaritas are at downtown? They're nowhere near that price, are they?
The frozen margaritas at downtown?
Are they about $8 at 6?
I think they're about $8 or something like that, yeah.
That to me is a bit pricey, and they're playing on people's love of the Adventurers Club, and they think they're going to get bitten, because I think we love the Adventurers Club for the Adventurers Club and not just for the drink.
Yeah, because the Adventurers Club was the club, wasn't it? It wasn't the drink. People didn't go there for the drink. They went there for the experience, the whole idea. And the management scene, it's almost like the management holding their hands up and saying, all right, we made a mistake. We got rid of the club. We shouldn't have done. Let's bring a bit back to make you feel a bit happier. And I just don't think it's going to work.
And I was horrified. Did you say that everything's gone to Hong Kong?
Yeah. From what we understand, they've stripped all the artifacts out. They're shipping them over to Hong Kong for the new, is it Mystic Point? That's going to be the new area in Hong Kong Disneyland.
I just think there's enough resorts to have just bought the Adventurers Club. I just think you've got a piece of classic stuff there, and you've got all the cast members still around. That it just seems a shame, and the drink's not going to, you know,
and it still looks the same. You walk past it, I think you saw. You've got one of your pictures, Adam, is of it. But we walked past it, and Alex and Kira said, "Oh, what's that?" And I was explaining to them, and the best way I could explain it was saying, "It's kind of like a club where the people from Up would have gone." Yeah. And then I thought about it, you know, wouldn't that have been great? They could have, you know, done an Up theme with it.
But during the day for kids and people like that.
Yeah.
Even during the night, couldn't you? You could have had it, and you could have, like, the squirrel joke would never get old with me.
No. Have some balloons come up behind it, exactly.
You could have balloons on the roof of the house, of the building. I just think this, you could have converted the Legendary Club so easily, once you said it and I thought about it, into the Adventurers Up Club. And there's just so much there you could have done with it. It could have been amazing. It might be. Me and Craig will come and do it for you.
Yeah, we'll do it. But they've now got those living statues outside the front, haven't they, which are quite cool.
But you see them in Milton Keynes, don't you? They're not that great. Anyone could do that.
I couldn't. Not in that time.
I took the statue down to Southport and I just left the statue there. It made a fortune. Everyone thought it was brilliant.
What, from the local garden centre?
Yeah, just painted it silver.
Right, okay, let's move on before anybody points the finger at Andrea. Right, so let's head over to the Contemporary, where Chef Mickey is adding a character lunch buffet to meet the free dining demand, and it's going on through to September. This popular character meal has indeed added the lunch buffet as of now, and I'll explain a little bit about how it's working. Basically, the free dining package has been in such demand on there is not enough sort of character meals. So they've decided to add, up until the very beginning of October, some extra dates. Now, there were some dates at the end of August. Unfortunately, they have now gone. But running through September is the following. September the 19th to October the 2nd, between 12:30 and 2:30 p.m., you can get yourself a character lunch buffet. Breakfast and dinner are still going to be offered as usual, but it looks like this popular offering is going to be for those dining packages. They are now available, so you can ring 407-WDW-DINE and book your packages for the 19th of September to the 2nd of October. Now, I really like this buffet location. You're not so much of a fan, are you, Jess?
I love it. I think it's great.
I know that's a lie.
I just hate it. Like, it's sterile, it's got no atmosphere, and it's just blah.
Okay. See, I really
and there's a train that goes through it. How common.
You know what? But that's the thing. Harry loves trains, and every time the monorail comes through, he was just obsessed with the monorails.
Can I also have another moan?
Go on.
Just give your number out in numbers. Why do we have to look at the dial and try and figure out what numbers are your numbers? It's not big and it's not clever.
I'm just glad the monorail doesn't have windows, because all those people going past, they'd be gobbling on your breakfast.
You'd be chavtastic if when the English were there.
Right, mate. Yay!
Lob Disney Brit business cards out the window as you went past.
There should be like a business class to the monorail, shouldn't there? Which is not
definitely. What, you get like a buffet style?
Yes. Become man with a drink and everything.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You get duty free.
Yes.
Love it. That would be great. You just imagine you get in, you've got the safety spiel with the everything, with the life jacket and the lot.
Please mind the doors. Go on, Adam.
Por favor, mantengas el hijadro de las puertas. There we go.
He was practicing that jazz every time he was on.
Every time we got on the monorail, I said it along with the man. And so he's going, don't. You could be offending somebody's Spanish. Well, I'm saying exactly what the man on the monorail said.
Adam offends any Spanish, English, or anything.
Por favor, mantengas el hijadro de las puertas. There we go. Very I can't good. Quite do it with the Spanish-American accent, though.
I like it when you get to Disneyland Paris. Your French is appalling as well.
Yeah, my French isn't great. But there you go. It doesn't matter, does it? Right, let's move on then. We're going to have Craig, and he's taking us to the Swan and Dolphin.
I am indeed going to the Swan and Dolphin. It's very nice there. And
he just said that like he was some sort of children's presenter.
Well, it's only because actually, you know what that's called? That's in what we call in radio speak, Adam. You'll learn this when you speak. That's what we call padding when I wasn't actually on the right page. I was taking stuff out my iTunes.
Can I point out, Nick would tell you off for that.
Oh, he won't like that at all. No.
Not pad.
We were trying to explain to him with like the Top Gear of radio, but he didn't quite get that either. But there is an American Top Gear. I saw a trailer for it. It looks really good.
Americans love our Top Gear.
Yeah, well, they've got their own now, with three wacko presenters that are, you know, taking muscle cars around tracks.
It's not going to work.
Anyway, Walt Disney Swan and Dolphin, now I have the page up, have their first annual Food and Wine Classic, Craig, press release. Approximately taking place at the... can't read that.
Be appropriately.
He's so slick, isn't he?
Taking place at the home of extraordinary...
Would it be better if I just gave you pictures?
Culinary talent, yeah. Thank you, doing macatons. The Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin is proud to showcase our passion for food and beverage by inviting you, Adam, on a freebie, to partake in the first annual Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic October the 9th and 10th. And what is that slap bang in the middle of, gentlemen?
The International Food and Wine Festival at Epcot.
So you're going to go over there and put on 2 stone. It's now going to be 2.5 because you'll stay at the Swan and Dolphin and put any more on. The Swan and Dolphin, as you know, is just located a short walk from Epcot. Now, the event offers foodies the ideal opportunity to continue their culinary experience after enjoying the festivities at Epcot, little r. Now, when is this? This is October the 8th, Saturday, October the 9th. It's late.
On the radio, it would just be me, Adam and Nick.
4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. are the beverage seminars.
Boring.
Which is drink. It depends. If it's booze, It's not going to be drink your Beverly, is it? It's going to be the proper stuff with a percentage on the side. 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. The tasting station's open.
That'll do.
Now, there's a great website, which is http://swandolphinfoodwineclassic.com.
He's read that wrong as well.
That's what it says.
Swandolphinfoodandwineclassic.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I needed Juz to sing it. Juz, could you sing that, please, as you did on one of the other shows?
No, I just think it's a really stupid address. Make it a decent address. Just don't keep putting words in a long sentence and put .com at the end. Duh. I mean, I get bored halfway through. I don't have that much stamina.
CopyEpcot.com. Simple.
Yeah.
Anyway, reservations and tickets. Sorry, I paused. Tickets to the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic are available as part of a hotel package or individually. Seating for the seminars is limited and reservations are suggested. One or two night packages are available starting at a mere $169 per night and include a beverage cinema for two, plus unlimited food and beverage samplings at the Food and Wine Classic. Food and wine beverage stations will be different each evening. Advanced purchase event only tickets are available for $50 and include one seminar and unlimited food and beverage samples on the causeway. Food and wine samplings can also be purchased a la carte on the day of the event. Tickets are $2 for 25 tickets or $45 for... What's that? That doesn't make sense. 25 tickets for $45. Thank you. Or you may purchase a bracelet, a Fun Spot armband for food for $50, which will allow you unlimited food and beverage samples. Do you know what? I think Epcot should do that.
Yeah, do it as a wristband.
You can go, hey, that would be fantastic.
A lot of people do it now with the wristband Disney gift cards, don't they? Where they just load up a gift card and they just take that around with them.
And just, yeah, or get a free gift card for maybe going to see a DVC presentation or something.
Something like that. That might work as well.
Yeah, okay. Entertainment will include Pieces of a Dream. I've got a CD by Pieces of a Dream. I have to dig that out, Adam, for you. And you can put a little bit right in there and it looks seamless. The Latin Jazz All-Stars and the Groove Masters. For reservations, please call. No letters here, Juzzy. 1-888-828-8850. And you must quote rate code FW class, CLAS.
There you go. That sounds lovely. There's loads of there's seminars, all sorts of different bits and pieces by chefs and sommeliers. Those are the people that work at the Swan and Dolphin. So it is best to go over to the website, which is swandolphinfoodandwineclassic.com, and check all of those out. Well, let's stick with food for a while then, shall we? So, Juz, some more food news?
Yes, it's about Tables in Wonderland discount program Expandemondo. The new additions are Via Napoli at Epcot, recently opened, the Umbongo Cuban Cafe at Downtown Disney.
They drink it in the jungle.
Umbongo, they eat it at Downtown Disney. Paradiso 37 at Downtown Disney. That's like Heinz 57, but just a few short. And the Big River Grill at Disney Boardwalk Resort. I went off Tables in Wonderland. I used to like
when
it.
When they changed its name.
I liked it when it was the Disney thing.
Dining experience,
which is what I've still got the card for. Because I still don't understand the fact that they take the gratuity off you of 18%. So therefore, you're only actually saving 2% because I wouldn't necessarily give the gratuity in the first place. Therefore, they're robbing me of the money in the first place to put against it. So I think it's rubbish. And I think it probably needs to be phased out for the Disney dining experience. But there you go. And I think we had this discussion about the fact that I thought Paradiso 37, and me and Craig had a discussion about this. We thought it was in Chapter 11.
Yes. It's interesting that you get Tables in Wonderland discount on it, but you can't get either Bongos or Paradiso 37 as part of your dining plan.
It's because on Bongo, you can't get dining experience in the Congo.
So it is.
Gloria Estefan doesn't like it. She don't like dining plan, she told me. Because of my Mexican heritage.
Gloria Estefan didn't do on Bongo.
No, but apparently the rhythm's going to get you. yeah. Gloria Estefan owns Bongos.
No, but she owns Bongos.
No way.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah. Gosh, you didn't tell me. The little minx. I'll have words with her on Facebook.
Gloria Estefan and her husband.
She married.
Is it Emilio?
Mr. Estefan.
Is it Emilio Estefan? No, that's Emilio Estefan, isn't it?
Ricky Martin. She must be married to him.
We'll talk about that later, Craig. Ricky Martin's not married to anyone.
No, it is Emilio Estefan. I was right, Emilio Estefan.
Estefan.
Thank God for Google.
Emilio Estefan. Yeah, it does. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Emilio Estefan. It's not Estefan.
According to this, and I shall quote Google, Gloria became romantically involved with the Miami Sound Machines band leader, Emilio Estefan.
There yeah, but that's not Charlie Sheen's brother.
That's a different person, yeah. Emilio Estefan.
Charlie Sheen's brother's not that.
No.
It's Mestefez, so yeah, I was right.
Yeah, but
I sort of ended up with something Fez there, sort of. Mestefezes.
Fezes. Tommy Cooper.
Yeah. Right, so I didn't know that. I've learned something today that Umbongo's owned by Pinky.
Umbongo's owned by the Estefans.
Yeah. She used to be, yeah, when I was a teenager, she was like, girl.
What, always throwing up?
And you thought you
might get... Anyway, moving on then, before we just get any more silly than we already are, we're going to have to Trails End at Fort Wilderness, because they are now offering a lunch menu, which is going to be a service style instead of the usual buffet. They're now going to, that word again, a la carte menu service for lunch instead of the buffet, and there's going to believe to be a trial. Don't know how long the trial's going to last, but it's believed to be a trial. But the menu is going to include foods such as chili and fried chicken and waffles, sauteed catfish, grilled pork chop, spicy grilled shrimp and sausage. The desserts are going to include wilderness s'mores and a warm sticky toffee sundae. Breakfast and dinner are set to remain as buffets, but they're now going to be offering this as a lunch. Is this going to work? Because people know this place is a buffet place. Are people going to be going over there for a table service a la carte style meal?
It will never work. Ever work, ever work, ever work. Trail End.
Unless it's...
Do you mind?
God, I was going to say, I don't. I was going to say it'll work if it's a quarter of the price.
No.
Otherwise, you just buy the buffet.
It wouldn't work either that. Trail's End is not designed for that. It's a buffet. As people walk through, you're just not going to get the sit-down table service. It's just a stupid idea, and I'll be proved right when they go back to making it a buffet. And besides which, can I just say that the chili served at Trail's End is the best chili in the whole of Disney World and probably the world. It is amazing.
And as it's going to be a table service, you're only going to get one portion at lunchtime. So what you're saying, save yourself for dinner.
Well, I don't like to sound like a pig, but they give you a little bowl, yeah? And I had 10 of them.
10?
Well, yeah, it's meant to be like a starter, but I had 10 of them because it was that good. And besides, it was not... Perhaps not a wise move because we were staying in one of the cabins at the time and it's not great the next time. But I had 10 of them. It's just amazing. I can't believe it. The chili's incredible.
So the chili at Trail's End is Jess's tip for best chili in Walt Disney World.
Tip of the day.
Don't stay in a cabin is Jess's wife's tip.
Yeah.
No, just good.
Or anywhere near a beach or water.
I'm saying that, Thingy Chili was nice as well. Buffalo Bill's, because I ate yours as well, didn't I?
You ate what was left of mine, I think.
I ate all your food and your beer.
You did, yeah, it's true. Let's continue before just goes through. It's just versus food. What we got with regards to Disney releasing incidents then, Craig?
Okay, right, this is good. Not good for the people involved, but yeah. Two of Orlando's newest roller coasters recorded multiple rider injuries during the second quarter of the year. Now, that isn't the good news, but according to...
I'm waiting for the good news here.
Florida's big... Well, it's not even good news. It's just funny news. According to updated filings from the Florida Big Theme Parks. Now, at Universal Orlando, a 36-year-old man and a 45-year-old woman each experienced back pain after rides on Rip Ride Rocket Coaster at Hollywood Studios. At Walt Disney World, a 54-year-old man had trouble breathing and later had a heart attack.
You're going to say at Hollywood Studios?
He did, yes.
Sorry.
They moved there.
Okay, at Universal Studios, apologies. And at Walt Disney World, a 54-year-old man had breathing trouble and later had a heart attack. And a 74-year-old man became dizzy and ill after riding Expedition Everest.
At Islands of Adventure.
Now, the rocket incidents were the only guest injuries reported by Universal during the period, as it was the only days it was open. While the Everest injuries were among 9 reported by Disney during the April through June quarter. Now, what's odd about these things, this is what I was finding amusing, that... these theme parks, if they do this reporting, they don't have to follow the strict safety guidelines set down by the state, which is just absolutely amazing. So it makes you worry, doesn't it? In fact, I was having a good talk with Mark Brisson, who we know is director of marketing at Funspot when I was over there, about some of the rides from Cypress Gardens. And he was saying the trouble is now with a lot of these moving them is the stringent regulations that they have to follow. And they've got a ride there that used to be at Skull Kingdom. Remember that, Jazz?
Yeah.
Skull Kingdom was great.
They never opened it at Skull Kingdom because they couldn't get the kind of regulations right. So, you know, if the smaller parks like Fun Spot and so on have to follow the regulations, surely I bet he'd love to not bother and just say how many people fell off the Sky Coaster.
450 this quarter. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that. Now, there were some more injuries. Two theme
park
basic details of injuries. As part of their of their long-standing agreement in which the state's parks and governments their safety regulations, which is what I've just said. Now, the remainder of injuries reported by Disney World included a 68-year-old woman who had chest pain after riding, this is a scary ride, Spaceship Earth, and a 27-year-old man.
You see, I try and be deadly serious, and we're like, this is a very serious thing, and, you know, it's serious, people being injured, but surely it's a coincidence that this woman had chest pains riding Spaceship Earth.
Because I panicked when Rome was burning. I was out there with a bucket of water and all sorts. She imagined the same.
Judy Dench didn't have to get on my hump, so, you know. Who is that? Okay. Walter Cronkite was much nicer to listen to. What happened here? A 54-year-old woman who fell and broke her tibia at Castaway Creek in Disney's Typhoon Lagoon, and a 72-year-old woman had a seizure. A 65-year-old man had chest pains after riding Kilimanjaro Safari in Animal Kingdom. 68-year-old woman and a 61-year-old woman each fell while exiting the Mad Tea Party in the Magic Kingdom.
Should have waited for it to stop first.
Well, exactly. You can't just leg it over the side and run off to get onto Dumbo because you think there's no gap. Go on.
We're rubbish at this talk, you know. Our video contract's gone.
We used to be so good.
All I was going to say was, I imagine, how many visitors? They get about 10 million visitors or whatever, don't they? If you get 10 million people in an area for 2 weeks or whatever, you expect more deaths than they really have, to be honest with you. I would think they'd have more deaths.
Cheery.
No, but you think naturally there should be.
Yeah, averages and all that. Yeah.
I think they're doing really rather well. I'm surprised they haven't pumped up a few, unless they move them off property and leave them there.
There was always that story, that rumour, wasn't there, that they would never pronounce anybody dead on property.
That's true, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently that's quite false.
It isn't. I know. Okay.
They probably just get buried in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that's right.
They probably get burnt in Spaceship Earth, and that's where the smell comes from, that lovely barbecue.
Oh, that's sick. Sick and wrong. Moving on.
That's why that woman had a heart attack or whatever. We're going to burn you.
Judy Dench suddenly turned nasty. So, like an alternative narration.
She's pointing the Andrea finger.
But yeah, I think there'll be more. I don't understand that bit. I can't believe it's right that you can get away with, or is it because they own the land and it's its own status, whatever, that you don't have to follow stringent if you report it? It seems a bit strange.
A long-standing agreement in which states' big parks avoid government ride safety regulations in exchange for submitting quarterly reports documenting noteworthy injuries. So there's some that obviously aren't noteworthy.
So what do you do? Dear SeaWorld, one of our whales killed one of our people. Don't worry about it.
Started on that.
Well, I just think sometimes it's very funny because of the way Disney's operates its own Reedy Creek, and it's its own entity. And it's virtually its own government, isn't it? It's all very...
Reedy Creek is, yeah, it's the same governing.
If you look at how they did Celebration, that was really weird, and how they had to do Celebration because of time. They would have lost the land. It's incredibly funny how it was ever set up. I think it's quite amazing. I don't think you could ever do that today.
Well, they've got Golden Oak, which they've set up, which, again, they've had to sort of... although it's in the middle of Disney World, it's not part of Disney World in the sense that if it was, they would then have to have voting rights and have a say as to what happened in Walt Disney World because they were living on property.
Well, it's like Celebration, they had to use it, otherwise it would have been could get taken back as being Greenland because it's been over that length of time, so they had to utilise it. And I wonder if Golden Oaks is the same. By utilising the zoning area, you actually stop land grabbing having to come back in by the state.
Could be.
In which case, that probably explains why there is so much, you know, the new development, the new hotels, etc. There's a lot of development seems to be happening because use it or lose it, as we say in rugby.
Exactly. Okay, let's head into the park, shall we, and do some actual park news. I mean, let's head into Magic Kingdom first, and we'll start with Juz.
Yeah, I want to say Vileda, but it's not Vileda. It's
Vidia.
Yeah. Is it Vidia?
Vidia, yeah.
I do apologize in advance. I'm not so hot on me fairies. Vidia, who is known as the fastest flying fairy there is, next to the cheetah, has begun making meet and greet appearances in Pixie Hollow at the Magic Kingdom. Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue will be released on Blu-ray, DVD, and via movie download on September the 21st, 2010.
And so what has tickled Craig?
Nothing.
So if you're interested in the fastest flying fairy there is, Vileda mops up anything like that, get down yourself down to Pixie's Hollow.
There we go. And that's not the Pixie Hollow segment in 2013. That's the one that's currently in, I think.
You did this yesterday. I was trying to make sure that you couldn't get that back in, and I made the mistake.
Oh, I know what you're laughing at now. I've realised. Right. Also in the Magic Kingdom is the Cinderella Castle. Every year has the dream lights put up. And just to let you know, if you're heading out to Walt Disney World in September, that between September the 13th and the 23rd, expect your Cinderella Castle photos to have a massive, great whacking crane in the background, because they're going to be installing those castle dream lights again. So that's September the 13th to the 23rd, those dream lights are going to be put up. So be prepared for that to be happening.
Tinkerbell could do those herself.
She can only fly down the line. She can't fly up the line. She can't do it. She can only go in one direction.
But Andrea Finger could help out.
She with her big hand. Anyway, right. That's a segue to Tinkerbell, who flies down the line and ends up in Tomorrowland, which is where Craig's heading to next.
I am indeed, because I'm going to talk about my second favourite ride in all of Disney World, which is Space Mountain. Now, there's a new addition to the Walt Disney World attraction that may bring music to your ears. They have put big speakers up and be playing me singing the climb as you go ride around the ride. No, it's an enhanced audio experience, and it's got sounds that you have never heard before. Now, the Walt Disney Imagineering have added a new composition that is exclusive to the attraction at the Magic Kingdom Park, and it will play varying sound effects throughout all flights on 60 newly installed speakers. Stereophonic sound, or stereophonic sound, as they're calling it, complements a new enhancements debuted on Space Mountain last year, including new lighting, storyline elements, updated decor, and I suppose actually the queue as well, wasn't it? Was new last year.
Yeah.
Now, here is a special message from the Space Mountain project team. Are you ready? Today, Tomorrowland in Magic Kingdom Park launches a new era in space sonic travel. Now, all flights departing from Space Mountain will zoom across the galaxies in the new dimension of stereophonic sound. Space was once a silent voice, but now every twist and turn on your galactic journey will be accompanied by a zippy musical track. The whoosh of passing asteroids and the rush of interstellar traffic, making your space voyage an all-encompassing cosmic joyride. Space Mountain had a grand relaunch on November 2009, but stereophonic sound is arriving a bit later. In the summer of 2010, we needed the extra time to test every aspect of this hyperspace audio technology without disrupting the continual on-time departures and arrival of the busy space hub. We hope you enjoy this new amenity brought to you by Starport 75. The future of space travel is sounding better all the time. Do you know what? I didn't have a clue they were doing this. I didn't see any work going on at all last week.
No, nothing. I think it's been one of these things that they've done after hours, haven't they? You know, they've said that they've tried to do it without disrupting anything else that's happening. And the interesting thing about this is there were some very, very faint rumours that sort of appeared about a week ago. And that was the first anybody had heard about it. And then suddenly it's appeared. It's very rare this happens in Disney, where they do something without anybody really knowing about it at all. And it's like it's suddenly just sort of appeared, hasn't it?
Mind you, I wouldn't have seen the speakers, would I? Because it was pitch black. But
that's true.
I didn't see it. There was no sign of anything going on. And I paid such good attention to it. I don't know if I mean, I'd need to try it out, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be a big fan of this. I kind of quite liked it the way it was with the screams of the other track and everything else.
I think you can probably still hear that. I'm sure you'll still be able to hear it because it's loud enough. But
what happens on the TTA as well? Will you hear that? Did you hear it as you go through?
Yeah, you hear it as you go through TTA. Now, it's interesting you make that point because I was thinking back to when I was on the TTA and people I always thought it sounded very... Sorry, now that people move it. I thought it sounded really strange when you went into the tunnel, into Space Mountain, that it was very, very quiet. And then you just heard the sound of paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow, and nothing else. Oh, this is really strange. There's no Star Tunnel music used to be in there. No, nothing. And it was like you got the whole attraction, the whole sound effects and everything that went with that. And then you went into the tunnel, there was nothing there at all. And I wonder whether that was because they knew they were adding this music and you can now hear it inside the tunnel.
Ah, could be. Yes. I agree with that.
What do you think, Joz?
I don't want to say that, because you always say that, we've always said that, oh, things need to move forward and we shouldn't be diehard.
Mm.
But I quite liked it being quiet and just hearing people scream around it. That's quite the fun I found, but I think as Craig says, we'll have to see what it's like. It's funny that no one's ever mentioned it beforehand, isn't it? And I suppose, as you say, being pitch black, you wouldn't have noticed. But if you're going to do it, it's going to be, the sound's going to be quite amazing with that amount of speakers.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I think I quite liked it as it was. I don't want it necessarily like all the music in like Disneyland Paris one. The music's quite loud all the way through, isn't it?
Whereas from what I've heard, because I've heard some audio of the ride itself, it's not that loud, and the music isn't as in your face as it is in Disneyland Paris.
Right.
So it may just be that the music's a little more atmospheric than it is, you know, that soundtrack to the experience.
So I suppose the great thing is we've actually ended up with Space Mountain at virtually every Disney park being slightly different.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. Okay, there we go then. So it changes to Space Mountain, which I'm sure will be interesting to see, and Craig will report back on that when he goes out in October. So
ooh, yes.
Hollywood Studios then. Let's move over there instead of Epcot. We'll go to Hollywood Studios first. And Juz, what have you got for us?
All I can say is these aren't the maps you're looking for. Except I'd like to say that in an Alec Guinness voice, but I can't do Alec Guinness. Although there is still 2 more weeks remaining until the planned closing of Star Tours, for the big makeover of Star Tours 2, the park has already removed the attraction from the listing of the current guide map. It no longer appears under the Echo Lake section of the park. What I did think is these are going to be absolutely cool maps to keep, because you've suddenly got a map that's in transition. So if you get one, keep hold of it. But yeah, it's off the maps, which is a bit sad.
It is a little bit. Mm. But I suppose it fits in with the last tour of Endor that they've just done. They had that last tour, and then it's sort of completely disappeared off the maps, although it's not quite closed yet because we've still got those couple of weeks. But it is sad to hear it go, but we're going to get something new.
Well, I'll tell you what's really funny. Should I tell you something very funny about this that I found out? Right, you know Star Tours 2.0? It's been called Star Tours The Next Adventure.
Yeah.
But it's a prequel to the current Star Tours ride.
Ah, you're right, because it comes in between the two trilogies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so not a continuing adventure, it's an adventure that comes before.
Yeah, so it should be the old adventure, redone.
You're right, because isn't the current Star Speeder the Star Speeder 3000, and the new one's going to be the Star Speeder 1000?
Yeah.
So that all fits
it's not,
in.
There's not a new adventure, is it?
Except for the time. Well, it's a new one, it's not necessarily the next one.
Yeah, that's funny.
That doesn't work.
There we go.
A bit of interesting storyline mistakes. Bit of trivia. There we go. Right, staying in Hollywood Studios then. The High School Musical show. I know a little while back we were talking about how High School Musical 3 has been out a good while now and the show is still going, and is it going to change? Is it going to go? Well, the truth is, yes. The High School Musical show will be going on the 2nd of October, but it will be replaced by a brand new show called Disney Channel Rocks. So I hear Disney Channel, which means there's going to be a combination of several things. Well, the High School Musical series will still be in there. There will also be elements from Camp Rock and also Starstruck. Sorry. Truck. I have no idea what Starstruck is. I've not seen it. I'm guessing it's something to do with falling
the kids
in love
have seen
with
it. Star, yeah. I'll have to look them up and ask them.
But then again, I haven't really seen Camp Rock either. I sort of know about it. It's Demi Lovato and Jonas Brothers, isn't it? But I've not really watched
it. Yeah, no, that's good. That's quite good. I like that. There's, I can't think of the English guy in it, but he's quite good as well. No, I quite like Camp Rock.
Sequel, isn't there?
Camp Rock 2 comes out this Friday.
Final Jam.
In America, the Final Jam. And then I think the following Friday here in the UK.
There you go. Well, the new show will be premiering at Disney Hollywood Studios on October the 22nd. So it'll be while you're out there, I think, Craig, which means you can, I'm no doubt, Alex is going to want to see this.
Do you know what? It's funny, actually. We were in Hollywood Studios on Friday, just before we came home, and it wasn't very busy at all because all the American kids had gone back. It was just the Brits wandering around. And we walked past where the barrier came up to watch it, and she said, oh, what's this? And I said, High School Musical 3. Do you want to stop it? Nah, let's go on Terra Terra. So I think, you know, because it's not current anymore, it wasn't Miley. You know, they weren't interested, so that's probably why they've pulled it to do something else. You know, these, as you know, things have a very short attention span with kids now. If it's not, yeah, you know, with, then, you know, that's weird.
There you go. So, new show coming October 22nd. Right, let's head on over to Epcot then, and we're going to start off at towards the front of the Fountain stage with Craig.
Okay, having been a permanent fixture since 2009, the Fountain of Nations stage will be getting its final set of railings. Now, the stage will be almost complete, although the new railings will be fitted with a lead rail. Sorry,
that'll be LED then, yeah.
I was listening to you, and actually, Adam, very well done on the anniversary show you put together. Yeah, big clap, because Juz and I sit here and take the mickey out of you while we're recording, but that was hard work and that was very, very well done. I was laughing on my plane listening to that coming back, and the lead rail was a clip that you played.
It was an interview, yeah, which they said that the Mickey's new outfit was going to have new LEDs rather than LEDs.
So anyway, the Fountain stage is having a LED rail. It would seem the stage has become more used area of the park with no sign of it going away. So that's pretty good.
It's cool now, that we've got a new permanent stage there.
Yeah, no, something else. Get some more acts, a bit more Boys to Men over there. Pieces of a Dream. Hey, be good. Whoopi Goldberg,
which, well, she's coming up in a minute. But it's nice that they're thinking about putting another permanent stage in there. You know, we've had a few live acts from around Walt Disney World beginning to disappear. You know, Four for a Dollar, who used to be at Hollywood Studios, used to play just before Beauty and the Beast. Absolutely amazing. They completely disappeared, and a few other guys as well. And it's nice to see we've got a new stage here to have new bits and pieces. I think this was the stage that, was it Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas performed the Give a Day, Get a Disney Day promotion song, if I remember rightly. Okay. So it's nice that they're keeping it there. And we did see some work when we were over there beginning of August, and it's good to see that they're doing something permanent now, which is cool. Right, let's head further into Epcot then. We're going to head over to the Imagination Pavilion with Juz.
Okay, it's almost the entire post-show area for Imagination Pavilion has been walled off, fueling rumours that Kodak has pulled their sponsorship of the pavilion. Hoorah! The logo has already disappeared from the park maps, and now puts into doubt just what happened to the area. Maybe this is a change needed to bring all important refurb to the entire pavilion. Do you know, just the Kodak film and everything like that used to annoy me immensely. It used to seem to go on forever, didn't it? And that put me off the whole Kodak thing. But
the beginning of Hunting.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's all up there. I mean, Epcot's just been full of sort of areas being boarded off at the moment. Just shows how much they're investing in the park, and as you said before, with the stage, etc. I think
that's very great. True.
I think there's just a lot of investment hitting there. But there's a lot of investment hitting all Walt Disney World. When you look at other parks around the world, you just do not get as much constant refreshing as you do in Disney, and I think that's what makes it so special. So yeah, great, excellent. Just curious to see what they're doing. I'm sure there'll be more forthcoming than what Disneyland Paris are.
Yeah, I would think so. I've got my current, I've got the Epcot guide map I had from when I was out there, beginning of the month. And in there, under Imagination, it still says presented by Kodak. So it's something that's fairly new that's happened. And I would hope that, you know, if they're doing something to it, that it's going to be something new and exciting. They're not just going to be taking the words Kodak out and then open it up again. Well, there's always been that talk that they're going to take the 3D theatre, they're going to take the Imagination, Journey to Imagination, and combine it together to create a much bigger Imagination ride, which would be fantastic. But whether or not this will happen, they'll get rid of the post-show and all that sort of stuff as well, I don't know. We'll just have to sort of wait and see, I suppose. But we'll see what happens with that, and we'll keep you updated. Right, heading over to the World Showcase side, which is to do with the 2010 Candlelight Dinner Package, which is now on sale. As part of Epcot's holidays around the world, they always do the Candlelight Processional. We've never been lucky enough to be out there during that time. It's the wrong time of year for all of us, really. But what they do is they do it every year, and they do it three times a day between November the 26th and December the 30th. Uses song, orchestra, and a narrator to tell basically the Christmas story. Happens in the American Gardens Theatre at 5, 6:45, and 8:15. And there are some narrators who have been... there are still 1, 2, 3, 4 slots that haven't been filled. But they are going to be doing these packages, these dinner packages. But just to let you know, so far, these are the narrators they've got. 26th and 28th of November, Isabella Rossellini. Jodie Benson, voice of Little Mermaid, will be doing the 7th to 9th of December. Whoopi Goldberg, the 10th and 11th. Steve Curtis Chapman, 12th to the 15th. Thomas Gibson, the 16th to the 18th. The 19th to the 21st is Trace Adkins. The 22nd to the 23rd is Brad Garrett. And the 28th and 30th is Marley Matlin and Jack Jason. Now, there are different amounts that you will pay for your dinner packages, depending on whether you go for lunch or dinner. Starting off with, we look at about $32.99 for adults at Beer Garden, which then goes all the way up to $51.99. Places like Le Cellier, Coral Reef, Tepanedo, Tokyo Dining, Tutto Italia, and Chef de France. They are for lunch, and they will get you entry into... You get several things that are included as part of it. You get your appetizer, entree, dessert, and non-alcoholic beverage. You also get a seating, guaranteed seating for the Candlelight Processional, because, believe me, the queues build for this. People queue hours to get a seat for this thing. And also VIP fireworks viewing as well as part of that. Dinner, again, starts as low as $46.99 for the Garden Grill and Beer Garden for adults, goes all the way up to $61.99 for adults, for Le Cellier, etc. We've already had Hayden Pronto-Hussey, who's going to be over that time, has already emailed me and told me that he has had to go for, bearing in mind his English, has had to go for Rose and Crown. It is the only one he was able to get for the date that he is going out there. So do think very carefully. If you're planning on doing this, that you get it done ASAP so you don't end up paying absolute fortune for a lot of the stuff. It is also available on your Disney Dining Plan. If you're doing the Disney Dining Plan, it's 2 table service credits per person. If you're on the Deluxe Dining Plan, it's the same. Quick service dining is not eligible for this. And those who are in America who have the Premium Plan and the Platinum Package, you can also use that as well. So, again, it's good to see Candlelight Processional back. I think, aren't your neighbours taking part in it, Craig?
They do, yeah. No, it's a cast member choir. So both Jeff and Sherry are our seasonal cast members. Last year, Sherry did it, and she did, I think she must have ended up doing about 30-odd shows. She did loads, because they have a shortlist for you can go again if somebody can't make it. And right. This year, her husband Jeff's also going to do it, so they're going to do it between them. So it's a big, and also another cast member, Kathy, friend of mine, who's going to do it as well. So it's a big thing, actually. They do get their family down to watch it. It's a, you know, a very kind of moving show. I know we've all seen some videos. You've got the music for, I mean, it's a lovely show. It's, you know, it's quite a, you know, it's pretty good kind of kudos for a cast member to get in to do that, actually. It's quite hard for them to get in. They have to apply and audition and be selected. So good luck to them. And I just wish I was there to see them, because it'd be lovely.
Yeah, the CD I've got is absolutely amazing, and no doubt we'll share some more of that at Christmas when we get to some of the Christmas episodes of the show. But it's the next, I suppose, big cast member choir thing after Encore that they do in the summer. But it is a massive choir, a massive orchestra, and you know, you've got some famous people there who will be doing the narration. And it's a really sort of heartwarming sort of concert to be able to go and listen to. I love the CD. I just love to be able to go and see it in person. Right, let's jump on a plane then, head over to Disneyland Paris, where it's warm-ish, and we're going to start off in Disneyland Park, and we're going to start off with Craig.
Well, once you've got off your plane, and hopefully it wasn't a Virgin one, so you arrived on time, if you wanted an early lunch at the Cowboy Cookout Barbecue in Frontierland, it will not be easy, because all you will get before 11:30 a.m. is a drink. The restaurant will be open as from 10:30, but only for drinks. Hot food will only be served an hour later. I do not see the point of this at all.
Unless it's a staffing issue, with because it being so far round and people not necessarily getting that far round early on. It's not an easy one to get to. It's not like it's connected to any other lands without getting on the train. Whether that's the reason, it's just not busy enough for them to be serving food, and it's to cut down on staff costs.
Well, then don't open it till 11:30.
Well, yeah, there is that as well.
That's what I would do.
I do like it here, though. It's a nice place. I don't know. Have you guys eaten in the Cowboy Cookout?
Yeah, I really, really like it. I didn't think it was open until 11:30 anyway, but that might be.
Yeah, I was under the same impression.
Oh, 11 a.m., according to one of the things it used to be open to, which is why I'm thinking that. So perhaps that in some ways we could say it's a plus thing, because that actually opened half an hour earlier for drinks.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a great little place to go and eat in. I went and sat, when I went out and did a solo trip, I went and ate here, went and sat outside. It was freezing cold, but I sat enjoying my dinner, and I was pretty much accosted from behind by Minnie Mouse, who just came up and just grabbed hold of me from behind. if I'd have known some martial arts techniques, I could have thrown it to the floor. That'd be some great photos. But I like Cowboy Cookout. We've got the drink option there, but there's a lot of others close by that are doing it as well. So food from 11:30, which I suppose isn't too bad.
Still great food. Do nice little rib packages there, don't they?
They do great ribs. It is great food in there. And they have a nice little sort of almost like country and western style little group that play inside as well during lunchtime, which is cool. Right, let's head over to Discovery Language Us.
Okay, for those of you who enjoyed the older cartoon while eating your lunch at Cafe Hyperion, you're pleased to know that it's been given an update. No longer known as Cinema Mickey, it's probably a French way of saying that, I don't know what it is, the new Cine Disney, which I think is named after the TV channel now, isn't it, is playing a mix of older cartoons and the new Pixar shorts. Pixar's getting everywhere. As well as previously showing cartoons in the lineup, now includes the following: For the Birds, Mike's New Car, Bounding, Mater and the Ghostlight, and Presto. It's a funny area. It just, they don't seem to know what to do with it, but it's such a fantastic building that they need to do something with it. I still don't think they've got it right. Bring back Lion King.
Bring back Lion King. Yeah, they have the Tam Tam, African Tam Tams that go in there every now and again during the day, but it is like we've got this massive theatre. Oh, by the way, it's Cine Magique is the channel on Sky. So obviously they have that in Disney Studios, so they can't have that in Disneyland Paris. But it's okay. Well done for trying. you're right, though. We sort of went into this, didn't we, when it first opened. There was quite a few people in there watching cartoons, but such a big stage. It's just a real shame that they're not bringing it back, especially as we've got, you know, we look at the Dance Time in Discovery Land show that was there that's now gone. We look at the fact that there isn't a Tarzan show anymore. Apparently one of the reasons they did it is to reduce the cast numbers they needed for all the different shows, because they had the massive party time with Mickey for the 15th anniversary. That's now gone. And the stage show they have now is much smaller in Central Plaza. And it just seems like they've just not replaced it with anything. And it would be nice to see something big back in that space again.
Perhaps you could direct something and me and Craig can come along and be the like the goats or something in it, and we do it for free if they let us live there.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll be squirrels.
It's a musical. How great would that be?
Cool. Arrange it.
Okay. Up and away in my beautiful balloon. There you go. We could put that song. Sorted. Okay, let's head over to Walt Disney Studios then, because if you've been keeping a eagle eye on Disneyland Paris, you will know that Disney, of course, wonderfully announced Toy Story Playland was coming, and it has finally opened on August the 17th, 2010. This new land inside Walt Disney Studios officially opened to all guests. Now, it seems the new land has gone down very well. Some people have reported that they've enjoyed it, that the theme is absolutely brilliant. And the wait times seem to be complete proof of this, because RC Racer and the Slinky Dog Zigzag Spin have had some technical difficulties, but the queues for these two attractions do seem to be hanging around the 60 to 90 minute mark. The Toy Soldier Parachute Drop, which boasts a single rider line because of its six passenger vehicles, we hope that's going to continue, has had similar waits, although queues of up to 120 minutes have been witnessed, and usually this is when both RC Racer and Slinky Dog have been down because of technical issues. But we will give you a full and complete review in October once we've been. But we do seem to have some positive reviews from it. And Craig, I know you were looking at some videos and stuff online, weren't you?
I was, actually. Now, the RC Racer, the racer with the ump, to me, just looks like a glorified Mary Rose pirate ship ride.
Although it's not a pirate ship.
No, but it's the same sort of thing. So it's like a half pipe, and you can't, you know, so you get the weightless feel as you go up, and then weightless feel as you go the other way. So, I mean, yeah, a nice kind of idea of, or a twist on the pirate ship, but it's nothing new, a pirate ship. The parachute jump looks a little bit tame, really. It's kind of, well, it's a parachute, right? I don't know how they're shipping people up. I didn't see that bit, how they get them up to the top. But then you go in and then you just drop down. But it doesn't seem to be dropping like terror sort of
It's
storms.
Like a half-pipe coaster, so it sort of doesn't hoist you up as such. It begins to sway from side to side on the track.
No, sorry, I mean the parachute. The
parachute drop.
Yeah, that's just...
Parachute drop, I think they just sort of hoist you up on the wires and then they lower you down. I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's fast.
No, it doesn't look fast. But no, I mean, it's a good... I like the concept of it, and the cars look great. There's actually two cars, I think. There's one outside the ride you can have photographs with, and then there's one on the ride. And it's quite wide. It would take, you know, quite a lot of people. But it is just a glorified Mary Rose in my book.
Isn't there one outside? an RC racer, and an actual RC, and the one on the track's just a big car.
Don't know. Anyway, RC's a drink in America. It's a really nice Coke, RC Coke Cola, very old-fashioned, called Royal Crown. So that's probably better. I'd probably go and have one of those and rather go on that ride. But we'll see. We'll see what it's like. I'm sure there'll be a huge queue for it, and it'll only be the English queuing up because the French just barged through. But there we go.
Breaking news.
What?
I got breaking news. A friend of ours has just been to Toy Story Playland. And her son absolutely loves Toy Story. And she's just been on the phone to Zoe, and her response was exactly this. She said, Toy Story Land was rubbish. It was really small. The rides didn't work, and there was no fast pass. And she was very disappointed.
There you go.
There you go.
Old French.
Done.
Well done. Right.
But we'll see. We'll give them, you know, we'll give them benefit of the doubt that they're in preview and that some of the things have been breaking down. And we'll give you a proper review come October. When we've been and we've looked at all the theming and everything good and proper. Okay, Craig, what have you got for us about annual pass holders?
Yeah, well, they'll be so excited now, because from the 25th of August, so a few days ago, till September the 17th, Toy Story Playland opens for holders of annual passports from 8:30 until 9:30, so that AP holders can enjoy the area uncrowded, which sounds like a good idea because it only fits about 15 people. Do they model this on Harry Potter Land at all or something? Three rides. There we go. All three rides. To encourage pass holders, they can bring along two mates who do not need to have a valid annual pass, but are required to have a valid ticket for the day at Walt Disney Studios. The only additional rule, AP Francillon and Passport Découvert holders are blocked out of the fun on August the 28th and 29th, as well as September 4th, 5th, 11th and 12th.
There you go then. So some extra fun for those of you who are annual pass holders. Have either of you guys had an annual pass for Disneyland Paris?
Yeah, I had a dream pass.
Yeah, I had one as well.
No,
I didn't. You've not.
No.
Okay. But it's a shame, because when I had my pass, we didn't really get anything extra. Whereas suddenly they started to do these little pass holder things that you're able to go along to, which would have been nice, but there you go.
How much was your pass in, like, against a daily ticket? Was it like 4 or 5 days?
I got a shareholder's discount offer, which was about €89.
Gosh, I suppose you didn't get one for free, but nice.
And then my second one was about €100, because it was like I got mine for €89 and I could get another one for a certain price. So it was a fairly decent offer, and we went back twice that year, so we more than made up for the amount of money it was going to cost us.
There you go. How much are they now then?
Annual passes as at this moment in time. That's a very good question. I don't know off the top of my head, but I will tell you in a second after we've heard from Juz.
Hi. A while back, we mentioned that Disney had built a Parisian-style street next to the Toy Story Playland area, which Craig has been oozing about. The street is currently being used as a side entrance to the new land, although there is an archway that all of a sudden has become very plain and barren. For the first couple of days of preview testing of Toy Story Playland, a bust of Gusto, the chef from Ratatouille, one of my favourite films, was positioned on the top of the archway. However, when annual pass previews of the Toy Story Land began last Saturday, Gusto was gone. Although Disney have tried to cover up any existence of Gusto, possibly preventing the giveaway of the secret what's coming next, although Adam sort of broke the news about 2 months ago, they can't get rid of all the evidence. For if you take a closer look at the benches along the street, you can see small Remy figures in the ironwork, which they can't really angle grind out of it. But no, it's very bizarre. Bit of a mess up, I think. They put it up there and then taking it back down. They should have just left it, and then no one would have questioned it.
That's true.
So have I given you enough time to find annual pass?
I've got annual pass. I found it ages ago, yeah.
Sorry. That's all right.
It's just talk about that Gusto thing. Because obviously they've left this the Remy and the ironwork on those particular benches. It seems strange that they've got this Parisian street here. It's almost... people are looking at it and thinking, what on earth is this all about? Why have they put this here? You know, if they are planning on putting a new Ratatouille area there, do it now. Do it while all these people are coming to Toy Story Playland, because they're going, this is an exciting new place. Isn't this great? Get some preview posters, some artwork up on the walls, things like that for people to see, because they come along for Toy Story Playland, they enjoy the day and think, fantastic, Ratatouille is coming soon. We must keep an eye on that and come back. And I think they've missed a trick here. Rather than taking Gusto down, they could have kept him up and put those artwork up, and people could have seen what was going to be happening.
This sums up Disneyland Paris, though, isn't it? They have an adversity to tell us what they're going to do, when in fact, had they told us what they're going to do, then we could build it up for them. It just, they have the weirdest outlook on PR completely. Is, you know, whereas we're here, you know, Disneyland, you know, Walt Disney World will tell you years in advance what's happening, and we hype it up and we're very much involved in them. They don't. Yeah. I can't understand the logic of it.
I can never understand quite why they have this this thing about trying to keep things quiet, even to the point that they keep things so quiet, we don't know anything about what's going on until, you know, the very last minute. We know we knew they were building a brand new Toy Story Playland, yet they never officially announced it. And we sort of, I just wish they would announce things and just let people know what is going on. And that would help quite a lot.
Yeah, funny.
Annual passes. You wanted to know the price of annual current annual passes. There are three different levels of annual passes at this moment in time. They are as follows. You've got the Francilian Passport, which is €99. It is 300 days a year, so you've got 65 days, which are really your premium days as well, a lot of those that are missing. You've then got the Fantasy, which is €129. That's 335 days of the year. And each of these have discounts on restaurants, hotels, all that sort of stuff. And then you've got the Disney Dream Pass, which is €189. That gives you access 365 days of the year. You get all the added benefits, plus you get loads of extra privileges with that as well. So that's the price of the three different ones anyway, if you, for your annual passes. So they're not too badly priced. Could be worse.
They're not expensive, are they? But
they're not overly expensive, no. But there you go. Right, I think that is all the news that we've got.
Woohoo!
All right, so thank you guys for joining me.
Absolute pleasure.
And we'll get on with the rest of the show. Well, here we are again in Walt Disney World. I am bringing you once again the Disney Daily Diary here from Walt Disney World. And it's absolutely fantastic you join me on my second morning, but I'm going to give you a review of my very, very first day here in Walt Disney World. We're staying this time at the Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. And I've just left a hotel room heading down to the swimming pool for a swim this morning. It's about 20 to 7. Just looking at the amazing golf course. So we're just about to tee off on the first tee here. But let me tell you a little bit about yesterday. We left the UK. We caught a train from Rugby Station at 6 a.m. in the morning, Monday morning, and travelled all the way down to London. And not too bad, a few connecting trains, subways, etc. And then we arrived at the airport about 8:30, 9 o'clock to catch our train with you. Our plane with US Airways from London Heathrow. We changed at Philadelphia and then travelled a little bit further all the way down to Orlando. And the journey took us, it was quite a while. We were 7.5 hours on our first flight, 2 hours on our second flight. And we arrived in Orlando at our hotel about 9:30, which wasn't too bad. We actually weren't that tired, but by the time we checked in at hotel, we'd been up nearly 24 hours, but just to let you know a little bit more, we were supposed to be staying in a studio. We arrived to be greeted by the general manager or the guest services manager here at the resort, who turned around to us with a massive shake of the hand, congratulated us, saying happy anniversary, because one of the reasons we've come out is for an anniversary trip. Just gave us his card and said, if absolutely anything you can do, anything at all, please, please, just come and see me. I'll do whatever, you know, I can do for you to make this trip so special. Gave us our room key number. We're staying in Grandstand. Now, for those of you who don't know what Grandstand is, it is the first sort of building closest to the main reception. So it's really, really close. And each of the Saratoga Springs is named is horse racing themed. We've got our own pool, which I'm currently looking at as we speak. But we were taken by one of those elongated golf buggies with our luggage up to the room, put our key in and opened the door. And it was absolutely amazing. You can't say Disney do not do celebrations, because the moment we opened the front door, on the table as we entered was a card with Mickey and Minnie dressed in their finest glamorous Hollywood style clothing, both signed to us to wish us happy anniversary with a photo pass card attached to it.
So we've not even got to do that. It's already done. As if that wasn't enough, we then turned into the living room because this place is absolutely immense. It really is. And, you know, we were expected just to stay in a little studio. To find another card, because Zoe was 30 this year, so we're celebrating Zoe's 30th. She had a card signed from Cinderella, which was also on the side. Then, head a little bit further in, onto the table, into the next to the sofa, another card, this time signed by Goofy, to celebrate my 30th that comes up later on in the year. And as if that's not enough, on the table by the kitchen was a hamper. And inside that hamper, there was a photo frame for Walt Disney World and also a Saratoga Springs fleece blanket. And if that wasn't enough, we opened the fridge door to find two boxes full of chocolate dipped strawberries. So you can't tell me that Disney doesn't know how to do celebrations. It was absolutely amazing. Went down to the food court, to the Artist Palette. A little bit disappointed with the amount of art choice there was on offer. I know it was late, but the food court's a lot smaller, obviously, because this is a DVC resort. A lot of people will bring their own stuff. We've got our own kitchen, so we can quite easily cook. But I'm on holiday, so I'm not going to do that. We've got our dining plan sorted. We will be starting to use our dining plan today. So I'll give you some information on that. Got Mama Melrose booked. But truly a stunning resort, an amazing trip, an amazing room. And I am now going to go for a dip in the pool before I go for breakfast, ready to go to the hotel, Hollywood Studios. So until next time, I'll catch you with you.
Flexible. Simple. Value, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844. Or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
Fish are friends.
Fish are friends.
Fish are friends.
Not food.
Though we have long, sharp teeth, we're not sharp.
There is only one thing better than visiting Walt Disney World. That is, visiting Walt Disney World and getting free food. Well, sometimes free food, but certainly getting a lot of food in some of the best restaurants that are around. And that is partly what the Disney Dining Plan is trying to do. Now, I've returned from Walt Disney World in August, and I was on the dining plan. So what we thought we'd do was to talk to you about what the dining plan is about. Craig and Jess haven't done it. They're with me again. Hello, boys.
Hello. Good evening.
Oh, he is still here. And we really just want to go through what the dining plan is all about, what the differences are, whether you can save yourself money or not, and just explain a little bit more about what the dining plan is. So, these guys have not been on the dining plan, so they're going to sort of interject as we go through and ask questions about things they don't understand or have not explained.
Oh, that's what it means. Okay.
Right, yeah.
I just like the way he keeps rubbing it in. He said it now three times. And these guys, you know, they don't know what real food is.
No, they don't know what real food is. So there are several different sort of dining plan options, but there are three main options available if you live in the UK. You've got the Disney Quick Counter Service Dining Plan. You've got the Disney Dining Plan. And you've got the Disney Deluxe Dining Plan. And each of these three things will give you different things. Each of them are also a different cost, unless you can get free dining. Now, free dining is pretty much up for 2010. But if you are heading out there in 2011, and you're heading there between the 1st of January and the 17th of February, the 1st of May and the 2nd of June, and the 1st of August and the 18th of November 2011, you'll be able to get free dining if you stay in a hotel that is a moderate resort or above. Now, depending on what sort of hotel you stay in, depends on what sort of food you get. You stay in anything moderate or about a moderate, you'll get quick service included. We stayed in a villa, and we got Disney Dining Plan because we stayed in a deluxe villa. If you're staying in the top deluxe hotels, things like your Grand Food and things like that, you get your deluxe dining. But the differences are as follows. If you go for Disney Quick Service Dining Plan, then it includes two counter service meals, two selected snacks, and this is in 2011, by the way, sorry, and one refillable resort mug per person per stay. Okay, that is in 2011. In 2010, what is currently offered till the end of the year is as follows. Two quick service meals, two snacks per person. And that's it. And you get that per night of your package per person, as long as you are over three. Disney Dining Plan is slightly different. You get one cat quick service meal, you get one table service meal, and you get one snack per day per person. Sorry, per person per night, basically. So you get to eat in any counter service location and a sit-down table service location, and you get your snack. Now, as of 2011, from what we understand, they are getting rid of dessert as part of your meal. Your table service meal in 2010 is a main course, a dessert, and a non-alcoholic beverage. Next year, 2011, we understand it's just going to be a main course and a non-alcoholic beverage. Saying that, well, I'll talk about it a bit later, but you don't necessarily need the dessert if you're going to eat as much as that. The deluxe dining plan, per person per night again, is three counter service meals or table service meals. So you can have one or the other per person per night. Two selected snacks and a resort refillable mug. That is again in 2011. Let me just grab my piece of paper here for 2010. So again, it's the same for 2010. You do get the resort refillable mug. Get everything in there as well. So there are three different things. Which one would you guys go for?
Craig, what do you say first?
I'd go with whatever they're giving me for nothing.
Right. If you weren't getting it for nothing, which one would you go for?
I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't go for any of them. Okay. I wouldn't buy them because I like the. I saw how full up you were and how sick of food you were, and I've seen people. We went to Hollywood Studios on Friday, and we just popped into the 50s prime time for a pudding, as we would say. And there was a person on a family on the table next to us on the dining plan just ordered food because they did and didn't eat anything, and I think it was wasteful. And so I think you get too much. So I really wouldn't have any of them unless I had what you had, Adam, and had it for free.
Okay. Juz.
Why did he order food and not have any?
They just ordered it and just picked bits out. She had a massive bit.
They did eat some, Dan.
I'll explain that a little bit later. What we did.
No, I'm just saying that they did eat something. I'll be quite happy with any of them, to be honest with you.
Right, so let me explain how this works. And so price-wise, this is 2010. They're going to go up slightly for 2011. If you were to go for the quick service counter, so that's your two quick service, your two snacks, and your resort refillable mug, it's going to cost you $19.99 per adult and $6.99 per child per day. That's in pounds. Mm-hmm. If you're going for the dining plan, which is the one that I was on, it's $26.99 per adult and $9.99 per child per day. Sounds expensive. Oh, yeah. Actually, wait until we get to the point where I break things down and work it out. Because that will work out. I was there 10 days, so that will be £260, roughly £269.90 per adult. So that's 500, and we can work it out, £620. Nearly £640. So it's quite a bit of money to do it, to pay it out. And then the dining plan, the deluxe dining plan, is $46.99 per adult and $14.99 per child. So we're talking about quite a considerable amount of money here. We're not talking about something that's dirt cheap. But one of the things, just to make you very aware of, is that gratuities are not included. You've still got the automatic 18% gratuity that's added onto parties of six or more. Your bills, when they come out, will still tell you roughly, if you were to have paid for this meal, this is what 18% would have been, this is what 20% would have been. So it still tells you, so you've still got to pay gratuities on top. That's where it gets a little bit expensive, because if you're on, say, the dining plan and you do have a table service every meal, you've got your gratuity to pay on top of that. Sometimes that can be the same amount as you would have paid for two counter service meals, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you've got to weigh those up as well. So we had a really, really gorgeous meal in GECO one evening. Absolutely fantastic food. But our tip was probably $20, which was the equivalent of two counter service meals. Yes, the food standard was very, very different, but it's still, you've got to add those costs onto the top. Also, the merchandising and photo imaging products that you get in the locations are not included, except at Cinderella's Royal Table. That's the only place that they are included. So, is there any questions you guys have got already before we continue?
No, I just don't like the gratuity bit, because as you said there, it's just, this is where you've got to be really, really careful when you've got a family.
Yeah. As soon as you've got a family and it starts adding up, it does get quite expensive. So as I said, I was on the Disney Dining Plan. And that meant I was allowed a quick service meal, a table service meal, and a snack every single day. Which meant, because it was just two adults this time, we really centred our holiday around eating in places we hadn't necessarily eaten in before. And it meant that we did eat a huge amount of food. I seriously put on some weight while I was out in Walt Disney World this year, because we went and tried all these different things. And we did eat in all these different locations. Every single day, we had a counter service, a table service, and we usually used our snack for a drink or something like that. I'll explain what the snacks are a little bit later. There were some days where we used two table service credits in one day. So there's one day where we actually went for breakfast at Kona Cafe, and then we managed to get ourselves a table at Via Napoli in the evening because they were taking walk-ups, and then we also had a lunch as well. So on that day, we ate a huge amount of food. So you've got to be prepared for this, because actually, if you start going for quick service, table service, and a snack, then food amount is quite a huge amount. Your breakfast, you get a juice, an entree, and a non-alcoholic drink. Your lunch, you get an entree, a dessert, and a non-alcoholic drink this year. If you go for snacks, snacks are the following. Frozen ice cream, novelty, popsicle with fruit bar, popcorn scoop, single piece of fruit, single serving of snack, 20-ounce bottle of Coke or water, medium fountain drink, a 12-ounce coffee, hot chocolate, or hot tea, or a single serving pre-packed milk or juice. I looked at that and thought, okay, that's fine, but be very aware, there are other things available as well. Okay, there are other things that we didn't know until we started discovering that you can go for. Those fruit smoothies we talked about a few episodes back from Antigravities that are nearly $5 each were included in the dining.
Wow.
You could have them as a snack. So we had a tropical fruit smoothie each.
How did you find that out then?
No, on each of the signs, there is a little symbol for the Disney dining plan. And as long as it's got it next to the item, you can have it on the dining plan.
Right.
We also went and got Dole Whips on the dining plan. They're also on there as well. So there are other things that aren't quite fit within those categories that also work. And then you've got we've got our room key, our key to the world, of which you just take it to the counter and you say, this is what I want. They're on the dining plan. And that's basically how it works. And they do that all for you. Now, what I did do was I kept a tally as I went round of how much money I'd spent. Now, bearing in mind, I got this for free. I got free dining. And the way I did it is I stayed in Saratoga Springs for 10 nights. Now, Saratoga Springs for 10 nights cost me £900, I think, which wasn't bad. Bearing in mind, I was getting the dining plan included. So what I did is every time we had a table service meal or a counter service or our snacks, I took all of those totals and I kept adding them together. Now, the totals I've got here are not exact, because there are a few that I didn't get the exact amounts for. So there are a few that are a little bit out, but not by a huge amount. So I'll start off with my snacks. If we'd have bought these outright, we would have spent $60 on snacks, which is about £40. Okay, we spent more than that on snacks, because once we'd run out of snack credits, things like that, we bought other stuff as well. Then also on our counter service, we spent $237 on counter service. That's about £158 on our counter service for those 10 days. And then the big one was our table service meals. Bearing in mind, we purposely chose places we hadn't eaten in before and places that were expensive. We went to Yachtsman Steakhouse, we went to Le Cellier, we went to Gico, and knowing what we could eat off the menus, and I'll explain the menus in a second, we spent $712 in table service restaurants over that time period, which is about £475. So adding that lot together, we spent $1,009 on food, which comes to about £673.
In weight.
So £673. Now, if you look at the dining, Disney Deluxe dining plan, which was $46.99 per person for those 10 days, that's $469.90. Double that, we're looking at £520. So I saved myself about £50 if I'd have paid for it. So there is some give and take, but you've got to use it properly. If you don't use it properly, then it doesn't necessarily work. We were very lucky. We ended up with being given some more dining credits because of an issue that happened with Craig, actually, who sorted it all out for us, where they gave us a few more dining credits. So in the end, we were lucky that because they gave us a few more, we didn't really pay for anything, any food or drink while we were out there. We got it all completely for free. But I took out all of the extra bits that we got, so we got that actual amount. Now, one of the big questions we had before we went was, if we go into Yachtsman Steakhouse and tell them we're on a dining plan, do we get the nice laminated dining plan menus, or do we just get the ordinary menus? And the good news is that we got full menu. We could choose absolutely anything. Craig's family and my family, we went to Le Cellier on the last day, and we were all given the full menus, and we were able to order filet mignon, or flaming mignon, but that's a private... a filet mignon, which was $42 or $43 for a meal.
Wow.
And we got that completely free, included in our dining plan. So it's an interesting mix, really. I've got this sort of mixed emotions of whether I think it's a good idea or not. If you were to get it for free as part of your package, absolutely. If it, and we looked at that payoff of, we could have stayed in Pop Century or All Stars for £600. But we paid the extra £300 to stay in Saratoga Springs because we knew we got the free dining, we got all this included. And there was that massive payoff for us because we got so much free. Mm. If you're paying...
So there was no... Sorry, I was going to say there was no dining offered to you at the other ones in the £600, not even the cheaper one.
No,
okay.
You only get counter service locations. Counter service dining you get free if you're staying at moderate. You can stay in an All Stars and then pay to have deluxe dining. That's not a problem. You can do that. Disney don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to free, you get it depending on the quality of the accommodation. So you can buy it, no problems whatsoever. But yeah, if you're getting it free, then that's what happens. So if you are in a position where you're going to get it free and it's not going to cost you £600 extra, we got that special offer of getting about 48% off a hotel for staying at Saratoga. It's well worth doing, without a shadow of a doubt, because we got so much included. But it's that way up of save yourself £50 and do the dining plan. You know, you're in that situation of what happens if you spend 3 days out of Disney, you do SeaWorld, you do Universal, you do Kennedy, etc. Is that 3 days worth of dining plan wasted that you're not going to use? So you really have to weigh up the pros and cons with this. I personally would not do it unless I was getting it for free, because I don't think I would get the use out of it, because I would feel, and this is clever marketing by Disney, I would feel that I have to be in Disney all of the time so I don't waste a meal.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when you got it for free, you know, you're not going to complain about that. Is there anything I've missed?
Did you add up all your gratuities?
No.
How much did you add up all my gratuities?
You could probably work it out, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could probably work out roughly how much. Let's how much we got there.
$1,000, wasn't it? So
$712.
So about $140 gratuity, isn't it? About $130 gratuity, yeah,
something like that. So you're still paying out that extra $130 there just on gratuity.
Yeah, so you probably could do with taking that away from your grand total, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could take that away from your grand total.
And that'll probably give you a bit more. So probably when you said £600, you'd probably be more like £500, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so if you look at it in that sense, then you're not necessarily making as much money from it as you think you are.
I think you're right in what you're saying. I think the issue, I'd have it if it's free, but even if it's free, I'd still feel bad if I wasn't eating at Disney, because I feel I wouldn't be getting my money's worth. So they've got it spot on.
Yeah, well, we went out to Universal for the day and we were like, oh, hang on, we've got to pay for food here.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
And did you ask if they took it?
Yeah, no, I didn't, know. We went to Manny's one evening and had dinner there. It was an absolutely beautiful meal, but again, there was money involved in that. Oh, there wasn't actually. Craig paid because he's looking.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, hold on. I don't remember you bloody paying for that.
Craig paid for Manny's because
you were on the dining plan for that.
I came round armed with cheesecake.
Yes.
It was a massive amount of cheesecake as well. But that would have been another meal in that sense. So, but you know, the other thing as well is in that situation when you leave, where you say to yourself, I've got dining credits left and I've wasted money. We had four snack credits left just as we were leaving on that morning. So I went into the Artist Palette at Saratoga Springs, bought two orange juices, a muffin and something else, just because we'd used them all up then, and I got the food to take to the airport with us. But we still had a few credits left. That was because we had the extra. I still think it's up to you. It depends what sort of thing you're looking for. If you're looking for a place to go where you just want to go and eat some really good food, you want a lot of sit-down meals, you want to enjoy that sort of food, then, you know, it may be the way to go. But I personally think it's a lot of money if you're not going to use it properly.
Yeah, I think if it's free, use it. But the cunning psychology behind it is the fact that you'd always think, I don't want to pay for it, I want to eat here.
Yeah, exactly. But we wouldn't use it again with Harry. It would be something that we'd use this time, and then that would be it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Don't let Harry enjoy himself.
No, don't let Harry enjoy himself. Goodness me, no. But there you go. Is there anything else you guys want to ask about that, or have we covered that?
Like, it's good. I think, you know, the general consensus is if it's free, great. Other than that, you really have to sit down and work out your figure, especially with a family, because let's be honest, half the time your kids might not eat or just want a snack, isn't it?
Yeah, and also not all your kids are included. So if your child's under three, then they're not included in the dining plan, so you would have to pay for those anyway, or they'd be able to eat off your plate either way. But you've got quite a bit of next year in which you're going to be able to use that. The 1st of January to the 17th of Feb, that's a pain. That's not really half term if you've got kids. 1st of May, 2nd of June again. The best one for me is 1st of August to 18th of November, because the free dining, if you're staying in the right hotel, starts literally 3 or 4 days after the schools break up for the summer holidays. So you've got most of the summer there in which, if you go in, you want to do the free Disney dining plan, that you can do that, as long as you get a good enough deal on your hotel.
How do you know how many credits you got left?
How do you know how many? Good question. What it does, each time you get a receipt, hang on, I've got a receipt in front of me here. Each time you get a receipt, it tells you at the bottom of it how many you've got left. So I've got one here from when we went to the Wave, and at the bottom it tells me I've got 18 table service credits remaining. The same happens with whenever you get a snack, and also whenever you go to your counter service as well, they give you your running total. You can also go to your front desk at a hotel and ask them to give you a printout of how many you've got left as well.
Cool.
It's a nice, easy way of doing it. So they can keep yourself up to date every time you eat or every time you get a snack. It tells you just how many you've got left.
Excellent.
It does. From seeing it operate, it does work a lot better than the one I had in Paris, which, you know, you had a paper voucher you had to hand in. You could only have certain things. You know, you just used your card, gave it over, and, you know, Pecos bills now, it's all automated. You could order what you like. I mean, on that last day, Adam, you ordered loads of food, didn't you? What, 6 counter service meals or something?
Yeah, now that's...
And
that's
just kept swiping the card through.
They don't keep close tabs on everything. There's now an automated sort of computer system at Pecos Bills, of which literally we swipe the card and it just let us add meals. And we have, because we've been given extra counter service credits because of some of the issues that had happened while we were out there, we had loads left on our last day. So we were able, although it's not strictly in line with how it's supposed to work, we were able to pay for or give Craig and his family a meal from Pecos Bills as part of it, because we had loads left. We were only going to go without using them. Also with snacks as well, you know, you just take as many snacks as you want. They don't ask any questions, as long as you've got the credits left as well. So that works quite well in a sense as well. But it does work better than Disneyland Paris, you're right.
That's not hard.
That's true. No, it isn't. But, you know, it didn't seem to be that limited. Adam was showing me the little icons and stuff. You know, I think you could even get a Dulwit float, couldn't you? You know, like $4 one. That's or something. Heard, there's a thing. I think it's very good. But again, it's only if it's free. But it does exactly right. You know, they aren't stupid, Disney. It's loaded into the price of your room, and it does keep you on Disney property and stops you going elsewhere.
It does, yeah. And the thing is, with the stuff that you don't, you know, you've really got to look around at the stuff that is included in it, because there's a lot of stuff there that you wouldn't expect. Disney are very, very generous with the stuff that they give to you as part of the dining plan. If it had been in the UK, it had been at a UK theme park, they'd have said, yes, you can have this, yes, you can have this, yes, you can have this, but it's going to be anything below £15, or, you know, you can't include these snacks because these are quite expensive. Where at Disney, it is very much a case of, there is so much stuff that is included. Even we went to places like Earl of Sandwich, they're all included. If I just grab my bits and pieces here, hang on, here's my little brochure that tells me which is included. There are very, very few places that are not included. You get given a little guide which tells you all the places that are included. You've got most of the stuff in the resorts, some of your sort of favourite places that are on here. Casey's Corner's in there. You've got stuff at Downtown Disney that's included. So we've got Cooks of Dublin, Earl of Sandwich, Food Quest, Wolfgang Puck Express, Cat and Jack's, Planet Hollywood, Raglan Road and Wolfgang Puck Cafe, first floor only, are all included. Things at ESPN, things within the parks. You know, you're not limited to the places you can go to. There are easily 100 places to eat. Also included in it as well is, if you use 2 table service credits, you can have pizza delivered to your room as well, which we did one night. And then things like character breakfasts can be included at an extra cost, or an extra credits, things like that. So it is a good sort of spread of the places that you can eat them.
There we go. Food.
And even in private in-room dining for some of the locations if they've got it in the hotels as well. But yeah, it's all about food.
Now, Adam, you mentioned one thing there, actually. You mentioned about double table credits. There are some restaurants that cost you two your meals, don't they?
Yeah, there are. There's some that are classed as signature almost. They're not signature restaurants, but they're classed as good enough to be signature. So the places that include two of your credits are, you've got GECO, you've got Flying Fish at the Boardwalk, California Grill as well, the Hoop De Doo Music Review and Mickey's Backyard Barbecue are two, Citra Coast and Arcusi's, Spirit of Aloha is two. See, there's another Yachtsman Steakhouse is clusters two, the Fairy Tale Dining at Cinderella's Royal Table, and Hollywood Brown Derby. So you're not excluded from eating them in more exclusive places, but they cost you more in credits, basically.
Okay, Le Cellier is going to two for dinner, isn't it, as well?
So we understand Le Cellier is going to be going to two credits as well. We were lucky we went and it was only one this time, but apparently it's going to be going up.
Yeah, well, lunch will stay at one, from what I've heard, and dinner will be two. So everyone will be going for lunch.
Yeah, as everybody did. And we have learned that we are the kings of Disney Guess Who as well at Le Cellier. There was to tell you a very quick story. We were sat in the waiting area in Le Cellier, and there was this poor Canadian girl who was trying to do, like, the Disney 20 questions, and not many people were joining in. So we all sat on these benches, and we thought, oh, we'll help her out. We'll start joining in. So for the next 20 questions... either somebody from mine or Craig's family got the answer right. And you can see all these people stood around the outside of us going, oh, for goodness sake, this is ridiculous what is going on here. Le Cellier apparently is going up for two in the evening. But there you go. That's, I think, everything to do with dining plan. I think we've got our point across, have we not?
You have. Your pointed is across.
My pointed is across. If you want to know anything else about Dining Plan, email us, podcast@disneybrit.com or Facebook or on the forum, anything like that at all. We're happy to sort of let you know any other things that we haven't mentioned to do with the Dining Plan. There we go. I think that is everything.
Hey!
Craig can go to sleep.
Yeah.
Sorry, again. Yes.
Which wraps up yet another show. Thank you once again for joining us. This was episode 49. We'd like to thank our sponsors at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando for their continued sponsor of the show. Thanks to Juz and Craig once again for joining us. The first show back with the whole gang after a month really, which is fantastic to have everybody back. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. You can still ring and leave messages on our voicemail. We've got one more, which was to sort of say happy second birthday, which we'll play to you in a second. If you're in Europe or the UK, it's 0121 288 2858. And for those of you in the US, or if you're there on holiday, 407-545-7980. Make sure you check out our website, disneybrit.com, and over on Facebook, you can check out our Facebook pages, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, and Craig. Thank you to those of you in the past month who have left reviews on iTunes. They really are greatly appreciated, and they are helping people to know a little bit more about the show before they think about subscribing or listening. Don't forget, check out our sister podcast at Ion Orlando. Visit our website, ionorlando.com. And don't forget to visit our forum as well, ionorlando.com/forum. You'll find out all the information to do with the new projects, the EMAG, also the radio show we're going to be doing as well. All of that information will be available over there, and we will try and keep you posted on the shows as well. So that's really about it. It leaves me with nothing left to do but to let you know that the next show will be on Wednesday, the 15th of September. So until then, I'll see you.
Hi, it's Emma calling from Sackler. I just want to wish you a very happy second birthday.